This is episode number 41 of the Apparently Parent podcast, and today we're going to resolve all your anger issues, so stay tuned. Welcome to the Apparently Parent podcast. My name is Iran Katz, and I'm a clinical psychologist, a parenting counselor, and also a father. In this show, we combine the art of parenting with the science of psychology. So, if you want to understand your children and yourself better, lead your family into calmer waters, and reach the end of the day with a smile on your face, you've come to the right place. I'm your host, Iran Katz. All right. Welcome back to the 41st episode of the Apparently Parent podcast. Now, officially, this podcast is older than me, if we count episodes as years. In any case, I want to talk with you today about anger issues. Now, I know I told you we're going to resolve all your anger issues, and well, maybe I extrapolated a little bit too much, because that's not something you do with one single podcast episode, right? However, what I do want to talk with you about today is how you can help yourself resolve some of your anger in front of your children. Because let me ask you this. How many times did you find yourself in the last couple of weeks yelling at your children or punishing your children in some, you know, too harsh of a punishment, or just lashing out at them, or just feeling yourself being fumed and just losing your shit with them? How many times did that happen to you? And if it happened more than once or twice in the last couple of weeks, please raise your hand. And believe you me, my hand is literally raised right now, because anger is part of our lives, and anger is a big part of being a parent. However you look at it, that is just the truth. Maybe it's the hard truth, but it's the truth, okay? And in today's episode, I want to go a little bit into what anger means, why do we have it, and more importantly, what can you do about it so that you will not lose your shit in front of your kids like that and will not hurt them on the way, because that's why we're here for, right? As I say in the intro of every episode, we want to create an enduring, positive relationship with our children. And where does anger go into that? Okay? Now, if you listen to the last episode, episode number 40 from last week, where I talked with Hilary Jacobs Handel about her book, It's Not Always Depression, and her work with the Change Triangle, okay? If you listen to that, you may already see how emotions are something that is really crucial that we create space for. And that's true for every emotion. Not only the good stuff, also, and more importantly, the bad stuff. Because if we create space within ourselves to really experience and feel the bad emotions, the anger, the fear, the stress, the sadness of life, we have a fuller experience of being human, and we allow ourselves to fully live our lives and also our children's lives, and many people, myself included, and I'm sure that's true for many of you listeners, we have grown up learning that some of these emotions are wrong, are bad, are destructive. And again, I'm talking about those emotions such as fear, such as anger, such as even sadness. Okay, don't be sad. There's nothing to be said about. Look at all the good things in your life, which is, yeah, we should look at all the good things in our lives, but without discounting and discrediting the good stuff. All right, So what I want to talk about today is about your anger as a parent and how you can manage your anger better so that you will have calmer days with your children, so that you will also reduce and minimize as much as possible those moments when you and your children are caught in a yelling fit, in a screaming contest, in however it looks in your family. So let's start with talking about Why do we get angry? Now, anger is one of the core emotions, one of the fundamental emotions of our lives. And again, if you listen to the last week episode, we talked about core emotions a little bit. So what is a core emotion? A core emotion is one of the emotions that we are born with, and they are the fundamental emotions that we experience, and they tend to be universal to many living creatures, not only humans. Okay, have you ever thought about an angry bear or an angry dog? Okay, you can see how it plays in other species, right? And that's true also for us human beings. We all know anger from the get-go. You can look at a baby a couple of days old and you can see when they get angry sometimes. You can see their face convulsing in anger, and you can see their reactions. Okay, so anger is there from the get-go. It's one of the fundamental emotions. Okay, if you have ever seen the wonderful movie Inside Out, you know what the core emotions are. We have sadness and happiness, and we have disgust over there, and we have fear, and we also have anger, represented by this red dude who gets so angry that fire bursts from his head. And of course, it's not a coincidence that he's portrayed as an angry red male, okay? Because that's how we tend to perceive anger, as red, as fiery. So why do we get angry? Why do we need this core emotion? Why do we need this emotion that makes us feel so bad and creates a lot of unhappiness and lots of problems? Because, you know, you can imagine a life without anger. Let's say that we take anger away from the human experience. What would the world look like? How would our politics look like? How would, you know, day-to-day lives would look like? How would the childhood of many children would look like? It's a nice question, but it's a hypothetical question, but we are engraved in reality. So why do we need anger? Now, every emotion that we have is there to help us live our lives. Our emotions are kind of our compass or steering wheel. They are here to show us and help us reorient ourselves in reality. And anger is here to protect us. If we do not get angry, how do we ever know that we are hurt, that someone is hurting us? Anger spawns from the early days of our wild lives as a species, okay? It's a response to someone crossing our boundaries, attacking us, entering our territory, hurting us or someone we care about, okay? Imagine the Neanderthal humans protecting their cave where they have some food left. And then someone else goes into that cave trying to steal the food away. Of course, they would get angry, right? It's a protective emotion. We have to acknowledge that. We have to respect that. Now, of course, the problem starts when we equate anger with destruction. When we perceive anger as destructive, when we equate anger and the action tendency of hurting someone else, all right? Because every emotion that we have, every core emotion and every emotion that we have has an action tendency. What do I mean by an action tendency? It's the tendency to act. Every emotion that we experience has a vibration in the body, and we're going to talk about that for anger. And it also has a tendency of action, something that it wants us to do. Your body wants to move in a way because you feel something. So think of a different emotion for a moment. Think about fear. Let's say you have a fear of dogs and there is a dog running your way down the street. As cute as it may be, you feel fear and the action tendency is to run away. Move to the other side of the street, maybe. Because fear makes us want to go away from that thing that makes us afraid. Now think about happiness. Let's say you walk down the street and you see someone you love. You immediately have an action tendency, a want, a need, a physical need in your body to get close to that person and give him a hug. COVID or no COVID, you want to hug that person. If that person is someone you love, right? That's the action tendency of happiness. You want to get as close as possible to the thing that makes you happy. What about anger? When someone is crossing your boundaries, when someone is hurting you, the action tendency is to shove that person away from you and force that person back to his or her place, away from you, away from your boundaries. Okay? However, being angry and hurting someone are not the same thing. Now, what I want to say is that we have to learn how to be angry, and as parents, we have to teach our children how to be angry. Because one of the most prevalent responses to anger that I get from parents when I work with them is that you should not be angry. Don't be angry with your sister because she did this and that. Don't be angry with me because I told you that you can't have a cookie. I don't know, because maybe you didn't eat dinner or something like that. Don't be angry with me. Okay? I love you so much. Why are you angry with me? And stuff like that. But when we do that, we teach our children that anger is wrong and that it's something we should not feel. But it's a core emotion. Anger is part of life. Anger is part of who we are. And truth be told, I'm one who has a lot of problem with accepting anger, because when anger is around me, I feel like crap. I feel threatened. Okay? So I had to go through a process of learning to live around anger and not, you know, feeling that anger is always destructive. And when we teach our children how to be angry by modeling how we handle our anger, we are giving them a wonderful gift, because as adults, they're going to get angry. If your children are ever going to be parents, they're going to get angry. And you know that because you're a parent as well, and you know that you cannot run away from that. So do you want them to be, you know, angry in a good way or not? I want to read you a quote from the book It's Not Always Depression by Hilary Jacobs Handel, whom I talked to in last week's episode about that. So it goes like this. If we cannot feel our anger, we cannot protect ourselves with appropriate and adaptive actions, such as saying no and setting limits and boundaries for how people can treat us. So see how important it is to know how to be angry in a productive way. Because when you act with anger in an appropriate and adaptive action, you can say no, you can set limits, you can set boundaries for how people can treat you from a powerful place, not from a victim place, not from a destructive, aggressive, too aggressive place. So let's talk about the difference between experiencing anger and acting out. Because the thing is, when parents tell me that they want to stop being angry with their kids, what they really mean usually is that they want to stop acting out their anger. They want to stop yelling, they want to stop punishing, they want to stop lashing out, they want to stop their own tantrums. So, you know, you can take all of that into the umbrella headline, which is acting out. You want to stop acting out your anger. It doesn't mean that you want to stop experiencing your anger. Because if you try to stop experiencing your anger, it will creep up anyway. Experiencing your anger is an internal experience. It's something that is going on between you and yourself, inside your own mind, soul, and body. Acting out your anger is an external thing. Acting out means shouting, yelling, blaming, whatever. Now, acting out your anger tends to be destructive to the relationship, right? Because you hurt the other person. And this is why many children who grow up in households where yelling is a constant experience, or anger, destructive anger, is a constant experience, they develop the belief that anger is always destructive. So that when they grow up, for example, and they get a little bit of anger from their girlfriend, boyfriend, spouse, teacher, boss, they feel like the world has ended. All right? However, yelling, hitting, spanking, all of these destructive reactions, they are not experiencing anger, quote-unquote experiencing anger. That's not what experiencing anger means. That's acting out. And as we've said, anger is a fundamental core emotion that is present in the body, and it holds an action tendency. And while the action tendency is kind of wanting to lash out and hurt someone, okay, again, remember the origins of anger as a protective measure, a protective emotion from our early history as a species. It doesn't really mean today that we have to act on that, because we do not experience anger in, you know, life-threatening situations, because most of the time when we experience anger, we are not in a life-threatening situation. So, I don't know, if you walk down the street and someone almost runs you over with his bike, yeah, get angry, because, you know, that's a different kind of situation. But if your child spilled, I don't know, a glass of milk on the floor, as angry as it makes you feel, because, dude, you know, get a grip, you don't have to lash out and act as if, you know, someone broke into your cave and stole all your food. So we want to experience anger internally and not act it out. And when we experience anger, when we let ourselves as parents really experience the anger instead of acting out on it, we take control. And you know, I started with resolving your anger issues, and it starts and it ends with taking control. Not suppressing, not denying, controlling. So phase one, if you will, of this process is developing the awareness of really knowing when anger erupts in your body and in your soul and in your mind. So what I want you to do is to open a blank page in your journal, if you have one. And if you're not, what are you waiting for? It's a great exercise, and it really helps you see yourself and look at yourself. So take a blank page somewhere. And you know, you can pause this podcast and just to write it down or to think about it. Do whatever works for you. Record your thoughts. Think about the time when you really got angry. And try to answer these following questions. Where does anger present itself in your body? Where is it most prevalent? Or where do you feel it, you know, the strongest? Where do you feel it the least? Okay, scan your body up and down and try to realize where do you really feel the anger and where maybe in your body there's an anger-free area. Now, when you locate that sensation, try to imagine, what does it look like? Is it a big sensation in the body? Maybe it's concentrated and small? Does it have a shape? What's the temperature of it? Is it on the surface of the body? Maybe it's felt more deeply. Is it moving? Maybe it's a still sensation. So start with that. Start with the awareness of where anger is presenting itself in your body. Because like every other emotion, all emotions start in your brain, but they are felt through your entire body. Each emotion has its own vibration. And while most of the experience is universal, we all have our own specific phenomenological experience of emotions. So maybe the way I feel anger in my body is not the same as yours. So while I can assume that you and I both, you know, have faster pulse rates when we are angry and we feel heat, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're not feeling heat. So I can share with you my own experience just to help you, you know, get the juices flowing. When I get angry, I feel myself clenching my jaw, like really clenching my jaw. Maybe because I'm trying to hold the anger in, I don't know. And I'm also feeling it really in my fists. I feel my hands, my palms closing down. And I feel my muscles in my legs also contract. So it's like my whole muscular system is contracting. And that's kind of logical because when the action tendency is to lash out at someone, your body needs to prepare itself to move really quickly, right? So that's the way I feel it. And I also feel what most people feel like, tightening in the chest and stuff like that. But that's the main feeling that I have. And the action tendency is that I want to hit something, not specifically someone. I do not like violence, and I don't want to hit anyone, but I want to hit something. I want to break something. That's a feeling that I have inside. So what does it look like for you? So start with that and be really honest with yourself. Okay, no judgment here. No need for judgment. It's between you and yourself and your journaling notebook or whatever. Okay, so develop that awareness. Develop that real awareness of where anger is presenting in your body. What does it look like? What does it feel like, right? Now, when you start to do that, you can also start to notice what makes you angry. What really makes you angry? Are there times during the day that you are more angry? Okay, again, I'm going to share with you, and I hope you appreciate the vulnerability of that. I tend to get really angry every weekday between 7:15 a.m. and kind of almost 8 a.m. Why? Because that's the time when we have to get ready to go to school and I have to go to work. And when I do not work in the morning, because sometimes I don't have clients early morning, I get less angry. So I know, as someone who really cares about the clock and really cares about getting to places in time and you know, having my schedule straight and not being late anywhere, I really care about that. So I can get really angry when things doesn't work like I planned. I can get really angry with my kids if they move really slowly in the morning because they feel like they have all the time in the world, and that gets on my nerves like that. And sometimes I get that in the evening as well because I want them to go to bed at a certain hour and you know, kids, how they are. So when I am so aware of that, I know that those are my prime hours to getting angry with my kids, all right? I can work with that. I can start to do stuff to help me experience the anger but not act out. Okay, so we're going to talk about that in the next phase. But think for yourself. We are still in the awareness phase. Where is it in your body? How do you feel that? When does it happen the most? What are your own buttons and triggers? Sometimes you may feel and notice that when your child is saying something in particular, you get more angry. Great, you've noticed another trigger. I will share again something because it's coming up for me. Sometimes I'm trying to help my children with breath work. I'm trying to help them calm down using their breath. In the same way I'm going to teach you in a second. And sometimes when my boy is really angry and I'm asking him to breathe, he's not really doing the exercise that I want him to do. And he's doing something like, and I feel like he's mocking me. And I get really angry. But I know that now I can experience that and I can hold that anger. And instead of lashing out on him, at him, and telling him that he's, I don't know, he's too fresh or I don't know, I can hold it in, experience that anger and not act out on that. And just, you know, to be completely honest, it doesn't always work for me. So don't expect, you know, to be perfect in anger management, because no one is, all right? So that was about awareness. And as you go that, you can try and have a kind of an anger monitoring journal for 1 week. Sit with yourself for 1 week from now till the next episode, if you will, and write down every evening when I got angry today. Just journal that with your kids, with your spouse, with your work buddies, whatever. Okay? When was that? What did I think about when it happened? What triggered the anger? How did I react? And if you do that every day for 7 days, you're going to get a nice batch of data that you can look at, and then you may notice some patterns. Like I noticed mine morning anger issues. So that's phase one. If you have any questions on that, feel free to reach out to me. You can find me at my Instagram at Apparently Parent, and just DM me. I will be happy to have a chat with you about that. Now, let's move to the next phase, which is working with the anger, really experiencing the anger. Now, there's one thing that you can do that I really recommend that you try and do sometimes, and that's using a timeout. Now, timeout is a sensitive issue. I tend to be against putting your children on timeouts because from an attachment perspective, I don't like that. There's a specific way that you can use timeouts with children, and that's not the scope of this episode. So if you want to know about that, let me know and I'll do an old episode of that if you want to. But I'm talking about putting yourself on a timeout as a grown-up, as an adult, as a parent. Because sometimes you get so angry that you have to step away to let yourself calm down before you lash out and regret it after the fact. So what does it mean to put yourself on a timeout? If it's possible to go to a different room, do that. And then in a different room, do something to calm yourself down. And we're going to talk about some options in a minute or so. Okay. Now, if it's not possible, because maybe your children are too little to be left alone for a couple of minutes, maybe you're alone and you don't have a spouse or the spouse is not there. Okay. So if you can't move away completely to a different room. And by the way, it's really okay to tell your children, if it's possible for you to go away to a different room, it's really okay to tell children, look, guys, I'm too angry right now. I'm going away to the bedroom for 2 minutes to calm down and then I'll go back. Think about what a perfect modeling experience is that for them. Okay. But that was a side note. So if you can go to a different room at that moment, go. Just, you know, take a couple of steps back. Create some space between you and your children in a way that you can still look at them and keep an eye on them and keep them safe. And do whatever you can to calm yourself down. Okay, so that's the point of a timeout. And it's supposed to take a couple of minutes, not longer. Because we do not want to send the message, and that's one of the problems I have with putting children on timeout. We do not want to send the message that when we're angry with children, we can't stand to be with them. Because as I always tell my kids, when I'm angry with them, I always make a note to tell them at the moment or after the fact that even when I'm angry with them, I love them deeply and dearly. And we never want to send the message to our children that, you know, when I'm angry with you, I can't stand to be around you. That's not the message that we want to say. Okay, that's why it's nice to tell them, look, guys, I'm too worked up right now. I'm too angry. I'm sorry. I just need to calm my nerves a little bit. I'm going to a different room and I'm coming back. Okay, or I'm stepping a little bit to the side. Give me a moment and I'm coming back. So now, what can we do to actually calm ourselves down in that moment, all right? So there are a couple of techniques that you can use, and it all boils down to regulating your emotion, to lowering the flame, to taking control of the anger and how it is felt in the body. Because when you're really angry, your entire nervous system is worked up, okay? Specifically, the sympathetic nervous system usually is really activated, and all this adrenaline rushes in your body and your muscles contract, yada, yada, yada. We want to lower the flame. We want to hit the brake pedal. So how do we do that? Well, there are a couple of options. So option one is using your breath. And yeah, you probably heard that you should belly breathe and all of that. And yeah, it actually works. As simplistic as it sounds, it actually works. There's a neurological reason for that, because you're manipulating the oxygen and carbon dioxide levels in your blood, which affects your brain, which affects the balance between your autonomic nervous system, which holds two systems, the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the calming down system, and the sympathetic system, which is the anger or stress or fear system. And that was a really hard thing to say because it's a real tooth breaker. Whatever, the thing that you need to remember is that using your breath in the correct way can really calm you down in times of stress, in times of anger, in times of panic and fear. So use that. So how do we do that? The basics of what is known as belly breathing or diaphragmatic breathing, because we try to breathe from the diaphragm instead of from our ribs muscles. I don't know if that's how they are called, but anyway, the thing is that we are taking long inhales and even longer exhales. So when we do that, we are, you know, if you take a breath, like four, and you count to four in an inhale. So, and then you count to six on an exhale. So I'll do that for a second. So you're taking a breath and letting it out slowly. Now, this is not on video, and maybe I'll make a video for that sometime. But so you could not see that. The way I exhaled was really taking it slow. So it's like I'm trying to blow on a little candle. Okay, so it's not like, it's more like. So when we do that, we are having our carbon dioxide levels retain in a higher level than the oxygen levels. And that shifts the balance here. So the thing you need to remember is you want to count to around four, like 4 seconds of an inhale through the nose and then exhale through the mouth slowly for 6 seconds, okay? And try to do that for at least 10 breaths. Now, there is a subjective feeling to that, because sometimes some people, you know, if you have some breathing problems, some people, it's hard for them to do the 4-to-6 ratio, so you can do 5-to-6 or 4-to-5. I don't know if that really matters. The thing that matters is that you're taking long breaths and longer exhales than inhales, and you focus on your breath and focus on your sensations in your body and let yourself feel the body tune down and the volume goes down and the flames go down and your nervous system is more and more relaxed. That's the point. And if you want to learn exactly how to do that, you can Google belly breathing, and there are tons of exercises that you can see on YouTube. Now, I do recommend that you, you know, exercise yourself with that kind of breathing, because when you get really angry and you're triggered and your mind is not thinking straight, you may not exactly remember what you need to do. And you know, by practicing this breath work while you're calm will help you do that in a better fashion when you're triggered. Okay, so, you know, you can just practice it every day for a couple of minutes. All you need are a couple of minutes. And you have that time, right? So that was breath work. Now let's talk about muscle work. As I've said, as I explained for you, my own anger action tendency, I have really muscle tension in my arms, in my fists, and in my legs, and in my jaw. Now, what will happen if I let myself really clench all my muscles for a couple of seconds and then I release? And then I'll do it again, okay? Now do this with me right now, okay? Even if you're driving, you can do that. You can just clench one of your fists, okay? Not the one holding the wheel, of course, but take your fist or fists, if that's possible, and really clench them right now for 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and release. And notice the sensations in the fists, in the fingers, in the palm of your hand. Do you notice the tingling? And if you haven't done that, shame on you, do that now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and release. Now, that is one method of relaxation that is really prevalent. And it's sometimes called Jacobson's method of relaxation or muscle work. And whatever it's called, I don't even know how to explain the mechanism of why it works, but it's a really, really beneficial and proven method of relaxing your body and your mind. So you can use that also for stress, but for anger, I think it works really well because you're kind of channeling the anger. And I try to imagine that I'm channeling all my anger into the fist and I'm holding it really there, and then I release. And when you combine that with some breath work, all you need is 1 or 2 minutes of your own timeout and you get calmer. Now, it doesn't mean that you stop being angry. It doesn't mean you release the anger completely or that you forget that someone did something wrong or hurt you. But you do not act on that. You can approach that situation from a different place, from a more productive place. Now, I want to teach you another thing that it's kind of similar to the muscle work because we're working with the body, and it's going to sound really stupid, but bear with me because it tends to work sometimes, and it's something that you can use with your children when they are angry. Now, everything that I'm teaching you today, you can use with your children and teach your children to use when they are angry, such as breathing or using your muscles. But this one is really tailored for children because it's fun. Okay? And it's really simple. All you have to do is start to jump up and down. Yeah, I know. Stupid. Simple. Works. Okay, when you start to, you know, just do some jumping jacks. 1, 2, 3, 4 jumping jacks. Do a couple of those. And sometimes you notice your anger kind of fades away or at least goes to a level that is more tolerable. And sometimes you just start to laugh. And laughter is a really good measure against anger. It's true. And sometimes when my boy, there was a period in his life that he was really angry for no apparent reason. And we had these huge anger tantrums. And I started to do this jumping up with and down with him. And it worked. It helped him, you know, release some of the anger. And then we could have talked about stuff. Because when the anger is so high, that's the problem, that you can't think and talk about things. So try that again. And there's another method that I want to teach you. So I'm giving you different options, okay? So you can go back to that episode whenever you like. It's on apparentlyparent.com/41 and re-listen to that. And choose whatever works for you. Now, this method is about shifting your awareness. Okay, so when you put yourself on a timeout or just moving away a little bit and you will feel like your thoughts are on what happened. And, you know, when you're angry, you have all these thoughts about how wrong everything is and how did they do that to me, etc. Okay, I want you to stop, take a breath, and now look around the room and look for things in five different colors. So I'm doing it right now in my office where I'm recording this episode. And here's a red picture of a fruit. And here is a green couch. And here's a yellow book cover, etc. When you do that, you're shifting your awareness and your thoughts to somewhere else. And when you combine that with all the other things like breathing or using your muscles, that also helps you move away from the anger. And the last thing you can do is to work with your mind and tell yourself, look at yourself being angry, telling yourself, wow, I'm noticing that I am really angry right now. Wow, I'm noticing that I'm getting angry. I'm noticing that I'm having anger. I'm noticing that my brain is angry. I'm noticing that I'm having these anger feelings. This is kind of an externalization method that you can a little bit put yourself to the side and look at things, and then the anger kind of moves away from your core being to something that you can look at. Now, none of these are magic tricks. None of these are, you know, one go solution. None of these are the silver bullet or the holy grail. None of these will resolve your anger issues in a jiffy. No. However, they will, and they can, help you reduce your anger bursts when they happen so that you can really experience the anger and not act out on it. And this is something that I really want you to remember. Every emotion comes to an end. Every emotion comes to an end. Emotions are like waves. They go high and then they go low. They start, they rise, and then they fall down always. Always, always, always. Sometimes when you get so worked up with anger or with fear, that's the problem with fear usually, and that's why it turns out into anxiety, okay? You get to a point when you feel like this is too much and will never end, and you can't stand it. And then you try to do something about that and it doesn't work. But if you just let yourself experience the emotion to its completion, without being afraid of that, without letting that emotion consume you, you will see that the emotion goes up and down, up and down, up and down, until it dissipates away. And that doesn't mean that you have to disregard the anger. That doesn't mean you have to deny the anger. That doesn't mean you have to tell yourself that there's nothing to be angry about, because the anger ended. The feeling, the sensation of anger ended. It doesn't mean that nothing wrong happened. Because sometimes you get angry for real reasons. When I'm going to be late to my work because my children took their freaking time in the morning, there's a real reason why I'm angry with them. However, it's not really beneficial for me to be acting out on my anger at that moment, right? It's actually opposite of what's helping me get to my job on time, right? So I can reduce the anger if I experience it to completion. And then when I'm calmer, I can help my children get dressed without fighting with them. And I can also talk with them about the importance of getting to places in time. All right? And you know, one of my mentors in this field always says that it's better to strike the iron while it's cold, not while it's hot. We are not in the business of blacksmithing. We are in the business of parenting, of raising children. We'll grow up to be adults. We'll have to handle their own anger issues and people making them angry all their lives. So why won't we start now by experiencing our own anger and showing our children how we can experience anger without losing our mind because that's just part of life. So that is what I have for you today. That has been quite of a long one and with a lot of stuff in this episode. And just to break it down really quickly, we talked about how anger is a core emotion and how what is the difference between experiencing anger and acting out on anger, and how experiencing anger really starts with the awareness phase. Okay, so don't skip on that. Don't go straight to the breath work or those tips. Start with being aware of your anger, developing this awareness. Really journal on that. Please don't skip on that. Really for 1 week, write every evening why, when, how I got angry today with every situation, with my kids, with myself, people in the road, whatever. You might just learn something new about yourself, and that is worth gold. Now, after you do that, you can move away to start, you know, helping yourself calm down when needed. Using timeouts, using breathwork, using muscles, jumping up and down, whatever works for you. And there are more techniques and tips that I didn't, you know, bring to this episode because it's too long already, all right? And there are things that I do not know about, and maybe you can share some of your own ideas. So again, I'll be happy to know about that. My Instagram is at ApparentlyParent. Reach out to me over there. Tell me what helps you resolve your anger. And you're also welcome to come to my group on Facebook. It's called Navigating Parenting, Raising Secure and Confident Children. And how can you raise secure and confident children if you're always acting out, right? You can't. So that's why you need to learn to manage your anger. You can find this group on apparentlyparent.com/Facebook. It will take you there. It's a free group. And you can come there and share your ideas of handling anger. I'd love that. So that's it for today. Thank you very much for staying tuned till now. I really appreciate that. And if you enjoyed that episode, please take a little bit of time and go to Apple Podcasts and give a review. How many stars you think this podcast is worthy of, and a couple of words. It really helps me get in front of more people, helping them be the confident parents that their children need. And I will see you again next week. Bye-bye.